you will, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 22, through chapter 44, verse 5. We are, of course, working our way together through the book of Isaiah under the heading of the gospel, the good news of God, the gospel according to Isaiah. This morning, we want to consider together how the Lord will renew and refresh his people. Again, our text this morning, we're beginning in the Isaiah chapter 43, where we left off with verse 22. Let's hear God's word. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you've been weary of me, O Israel. You've not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I've not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You've not bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you've burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proved right. Your first father sinned, and your mediators transgressed against me. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus far, the reading of the word of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you. We thank you that you have spoken, that you have revealed your will, your purposes for our life. You have revealed, you've made known who you are and who we are and what is true, what we should believe and what we should do. And now teach us this morning in such a way that we hear, that we listen, that we believe, and that we learn. Teach us, O Lord, in such a way that we truly learn this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever get tired of the Lord? You know what I mean. Sometimes you get tired of getting up early in the morning and getting dressed and having to come to church. You know, especially if it's really cold or rainy or nasty outside. Sometimes you just get tired of coming to church. Sometimes you get tired of seeing the same old people every Sunday. No offense. But it's true, isn't it? Sometimes you get tired of praying. You get tired of singing hymns. You get tired of singing the same old hymns we always sing. Or maybe you get tired of singing hymns we don't know, and you think, why can't we sing hymns we know? You get tired, maybe you get tired of reading the Bible and hearing sermons from the same old preacher every week. Sometimes we get tired of always putting the Lord first and bringing God our tithes and our offerings, our hard-earned money. Sometimes we get tired of always putting the other person above ourselves. We get tired of having to confess our sins and admit we're wrong. We're tired of always having to forgive people. Don't you sometimes get tired of having to put up with your little brother? Sometimes we get tired of always having to do the right thing. sometimes you get tired of serving the Lord. Now, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, and that simply means you've asked God to forgive you, and you understand that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin, and so because of Jesus, you're forgiven. You know, if you believe that, you're depending on Jesus, you're relying on Jesus, and you believe, well, because Jesus died for me, I'm forgiven. If you're trusting in Jesus in that way, then sometimes you'll enjoy worship. Sometimes you'll love it. Sometimes it doesn't matter what the weather's like, nothing can keep you away. If you're really trusting in Jesus, sometimes you'll love seeing one another. You'll love the fellowship. And you'll love singing hymns and songs. And you'll love hearing the Bible. And you'll even love listening to sermons. If you're really trusting in Jesus, you'll love putting the Lord first. And you'll love giving your gifts. And you'll love learning to walk in God's ways. At least sometimes you'll enjoy learning how to forgive one another. You'll enjoy doing the right thing. You'll even learn to enjoy serving the Lord. If you're trusting in Jesus, sometimes you'll really enjoy serving the Lord. Okay, we saw last week, your life is a journey. You're going somewhere in life. Your life has purpose. It has a destination. If you're trusting in Jesus, then one day you're going to love him so much. You're going to enjoy him. You're going to delight in him. And serving him and praising him is going to be your greatest delight. That's where you're headed in life. That's where God is taking you. That's where God is taking us as a congregation, as God's people. God is making us to be a people who love him and delight in him and enjoy serving him and praising him. We're happy and content and blessed. That's where you're headed in life. But you're not there yet. And that means sometimes you're going to love serving the Lord. Sometimes it's going to be your heart's desire. Sometimes it's going to be the best of the best. But sometimes you will get tired of it because you're just not there yet. Look with me at our text this morning. Again, we're beginning in chapter 43. We're picking up where we left off last time with verse 22. God says, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah the prophet, "Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob." Now remember what we saw last time. God said that he will do whatever it takes to get you from A to B. God will do whatever it takes to get you from where you are to where you need to be. Okay? God has said that the people of Jerusalem, they're going to end up in Babylon. They're going to end up slaves and prisoners and captives. They're going to end up stuck. They're going to end up far from God and far from home. And yet God has promised that he will do whatever it takes to bring them back. That he will give Egypt. He'll give whole nations in exchange for them. He will do whatever it takes. God will even give his son Jesus for you. That's God's promise, that Jesus would die on the cross in your place, to take your penalty, your punishment, so that your sin is paid for. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to feel guilty. It's dealt with. It's done. God said, "I'll do anything to get you where you need to be. I'll even give my son Jesus for you." But now he says, "And yet you didn't call on me." God says, "I have promised to do whatever you need, and yet you didn't even ask me. You didn't pray to me. You didn't trust me. You didn't look to me." He says, "You didn't call upon me, O Jacob, but you've been weary of me, O Israel." You know what it means to be weary. Be weary is tired. As in, I'm tired of him. I'm tired of this television show. I'm tired of wearing the same old clothes. You get sick of it. God has promised to do whatever these people need, whatever they needed to get them from Babylon back to Jerusalem, to get them from being a backward, hard-hearted people to being a joyful, loving, trusting people. God said, "I'll do whatever you need." And yet they didn't even ask for help. They didn't even pray. They didn't even bother. He says, they got tired of God. It's true. God loves you so much, he even gave his son for you. And yet sometimes you get tired of God. Sometimes I get tired of God. We get tired of serving the Lord. God says, you have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings. Well, now there's all kind of different sacrifices that people were supposed to bring, but the burnt offering in particular was an offering where the entire animal would be burned up. And it had a very special purpose, had a very special lesson. You'd bring a sheep, and the entire sheep would be burned up on the offering, and that represented God's judgment or God's justice being satisfied. God was saying to the people, you're sinful. You deserve to be punished. You deserve God's judgment. But God says, here's what you can do instead. You can take this, offer an animal, a sheep on the altar in your place. And that animal will die in your place as your substitute. And it'll be completely burned up. And that'll represent God's justice, God's wrath, God's anger being totally satisfied. God will no longer be angry at you. He's no longer mad at you. It's totally satisfied. That sheep was supposed to represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who would die on the cross and take God's judgment and God's wrath. He would satisfy God's wrath. We call that propitiation, so that God's no longer angry at his people because God has poured out his anger on Jesus as our substitute. God has offered this sacrificial system for the people as a way out of their mess. And they didn't even bother to bring a sheep. They didn't even bother to bring them. God has said, here's a way you can be forgiven. They didn't even bother to bring a sheep. He says, you have not brought your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. We sometimes get tired of the Lord. We get weary of praying, of worshiping, of witnessing, of serving. But it's not God's fault. He says, I have not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. In other words, it's not that God is burdensome. It's not like God is just making you feel guilty and piling things on your back and weighing you down with guilt. Just the opposite. We read this morning in the call to worship, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, guilt weighs on it. Guilt weighs you down. Jesus says, come to me and I'll take that from you. He said, my way is easy. My burden is light. God is not burdensome. God doesn't try to make you feel burdened down with guilt. God wants to take away your guilt. He says, I haven't burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You haven't bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you've burdened me with your sins. In other words, God isn't burdensome, but sometimes we're burdensome. You know, don't you have some people in your life who are always making you feel guilty? Or who are always asking you for help. Some people are always wanting you to bail them out of their problems. Some people they're such a burden on you. Sometimes other people are burdens on you. Sometimes you do it to yourself. We beat ourselves up, or we put impossible expectations on ourselves. God isn't doing that. God isn't burdensome. Sometimes we are. Don't you ever get tired of yourself? So sick of myself always making foolish choices. God says, I don't know why you're tired of me. He says, I'm not burdening you. He says, in fact, I'm tired of you and all of your sins. He says, you've burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. God is saying, I don't know why you're tired of me. I'm the one who ought to be tired of you. And yet, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. Well, to blot something out is to cover it up or to erase it, to remove it so you can't see it. God says, I ought to be tired of you. I ought to be sick of you. I ought to give up on you guys. I'm going to send you down to Babylon and I ought to leave you there. But instead, I'm going to erase your sin. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to blot it out. God gave his son Jesus to cover up our sins. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins anymore. In other words, if you imagine a long list of all the things you've ever done wrong, I mean, you could just start with the things you did this morning in the car ride over, and you could work backwards and think of all the things you've said to yourself under your breath, and all the things you should have done you didn't ever do, and all the things you've thought. God says, I'll blot that out. That's why I'm sending Jesus. You trust in Jesus. I'm not going to look at that list anymore. You don't have to worry about that anymore. God says, I'm not here to burden you. I'm here to blot that out. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to cover those sins. God gave his son Jesus to cover those sins. He says, I won't remember those sins anymore. Put me in remembrance. You catch what he says there? I'm not going to remember your sins. So how about you remember me? Remember what I'm really like. Remember who I am. Remember how I forgive you. Remember all the things I've done for you. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Now, this is sort of a theme in the book of Isaiah, where God says throughout the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Let's think about this. Let's talk this out. Let's debate even, if that's what it takes. God says, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make you white as snow. Some people believe that religion is just emotion. Oh, there's no reason to it. It's just emotion. Emotions are good. Emotions are often a reflection of what's going on inside of you. And it's wonderful when a worship service touches you and moves your emotions, when you leave here feeling comforted or encouraged or inspired. Nothing wrong with emotions. It's great when worship services move you or touch your emotions. But you've got to do more than just listen to your emotions. You've got to do more than just listen to your feelings. This is the theme of the whole book of Isaiah. You've got to learn to listen to the Lord, because you need to change the way you think. Imagine what the emotions would be of these people when they're down in Babylon, feeling guilty, feeling sorry for themselves, mad at God, mad at the world, worried, anxious. They need to quit listening to their feelings and listen to the Lord. God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you home. Your feelings and emotions are important, but you've got to learn to not just listen to your emotions. You've got to listen to God. Listen to the Lord. Listen to his promises. Because if you're ever going to be that person that God has always intended you to be, if you're really going to change, if you're going to break those old habits, if you're going to be transformed, if you're going to become more confident and more gracious and more like Jesus, more Christ-like, you got to change the way you think. And so, God says through Isaiah, let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proved right. In other words, God says, you think I'm wearisome? Okay, remember me, remember what I've done. Now you come and you tell me why I'm tiresome, and let's talk it out. Let's reason it out. God wants you to think it through and change the way you think. If you're ever going to become that person you were always meant to be, you've got to change the way you think. This is what he says, verse 27. Your first father sinned. Well, now that could be a reference to Jacob. Okay, Jacob was one of the fathers of the faith. They were all descended from Jacob, and Jacob was known for being a sinful man. It could be a reference to Abraham, because normally when you think of the Israelites, you think of Father Abraham. It could be a reference to Adam, because you think of the first sin, that would be Adam. But regardless, the point is, when he says your first father sinned, he's saying you've always been sinful. God's people have always been sinful. And so God has sent mediators. Okay? A mediator is someone who comes in the middle. who comes in between to make things right. If two kids are arguing, maybe mom steps in as the mediator to try to help them get along. God's people have always been sinful. And so God sent mediators, different prophets and priests, to come and help them get right with God. But even the mediators were sinful. He says, your first father sinned and your mediators transgressed against me. So even the people who were supposed to help, the people who were supposed to be part of the solution, well, even they were ended up being part of the problem because even they were sinful. Therefore, I'll profane the princes of the sanctuary and deliver Jacob to utter destruction and Israel to reviling. God says, this is why I'm going to allow Jerusalem to be destroyed and the people carried off to Babylon, because not only are the people sinful, but even the mediators who are supposed to help them, even they are sinful. Even the prophets and the priests, even the most godly ones who were supposed to help, even they got tired of serving the Lord. Even the most mature Christians get tired of serving the Lord sometime. But the Lord will renew and refresh his people. Okay, look at chapter 44, verse 1. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel whom I've chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. You know, in your family, you probably have a lot of different names you call each other by, sort of nicknames, pet names. Well, God is talking to his people, the people of God. So he has all kinds of different pet names, family names. Israel, Jacob, Jerusalem, Jeshurun. These are family names, pet names for the same people. He says, listen, I chose you. I made you. I formed you from the womb. I'll help you. Okay? God made us. God will help us. Okay? In fact, you could say God made us and God is remaking us. You know, let's say you made something out of clay and you had it just right and it was perfect, and then you left the room and it falls off the shelf and it just falls apart. So you pick it back up and you begin to remake it and refashion it. That's kind of what God is doing with us. He made us upright and good. Mankind is fallen, so now he's remaking us. And he's going to help us. He says, don't be afraid. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Here are the people. They're going to be off in Babylon. They're going to be wondering, how on earth can we make it back to Jerusalem? That's 4 month journey, something like 700 miles. What are we going to drink? How are we going to make it through the desert? God says, I'm going to take care of it. I'll pour out water. I'll pour out streams. God will get you where you need to go. Okay? That's the encouragement. That's the promise for the people of God. He's going to get you there. He's going to get you from A to B. He who began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is what he says. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring. Now, we looked at this last week with the baptism. This morning, we'll look at it from a little different angle. Because remember what we've just seen. Is that God poured out judgment on Jerusalem. Because not only were the people sinful, but even their mediators were sinful. So now God is promising, I'm going to send you a mediator who's not sinful. Okay? Jesus is the mediator. Okay? He's like a prophet, and he's like a priest, but he's like a mediator who never sinned. I mean, you think about during his earthly life how difficult Christ's life was, how people were always pulling on him and asking things of him and criticizing him, and yet Jesus never grew weary of serving the Lord. He got tired sometimes physically. He's God in the flesh. He has a human body, so sometimes he got tired. One time fell asleep in the boat. He was so tired, but he never got tired of the Lord. Jesus is the mediator who never, ever sinned. And so he gave his life on the cross as that burnt offering so that God's wrath was poured out on Jesus instead of us. But Jesus didn't deserve that. So on the third day, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven. And Jesus poured out his spirit on his people at Pentecost. And that's what Isaiah is referring to here. He says, I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. At Pentecost, Peter practically quotes that. He says, this is Jesus pouring out his spirit and the promises for you and for your descendants. Jesus is this perfect mediator. He never gets tired of standing before the Father for our sake. And for our sake, he pours out his spirit on us to renew us and refresh us. And this is what he means when he says they. This would be the descendants of the people of Israel. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. You know what happens when you forget to water a plant? It starts to wilt. It starts to die. That's the image that Isaiah's been using throughout the book, that we're like grass that grows up and then it begins to wilt and it begins to dry up. God says, I understand. You're weak. You get tired. You don't just get tired physically. You get tired of me. But God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you, and I'm going to refresh you. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. When you've forgotten to water a plant, and it gets dry and wilty, and then you pour water on it, and it springs back to life. God says, that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. I'm going to renew you, and I'm going to refresh you. So, yeah, there's going to be days when I'm tired of serving the Lord. I'm tired of reading the Bible. I'm tired of trying to do the right thing. I'm tired of trying to pray. There are going to be times like that, but don't give up. Don't give in, because God will pour out his spirit on you, and he's going to renew you, and he's going to refresh you. He's going to get you where you need to be. You're going to become that person of worship and praise and holy, godly delight. God's going to do it. He's going to renew you and refresh you by his spirit. This one will say, I am the Lord's. You know, down in Babylon, the people were down in Babylon for so long that some of them began to think of themselves as Babylonian. And they began to think of Babylonian gods. You know, who wants to worship the Lord? The Lord sent us to Babylon. Likewise today, it's very easy to get caught up in the world, caught up in the way things are done on television and the media. It's easy for our children and our young people. But God says, this is my promise. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your offspring. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your descendants. And one will say, I'm the Lord's. Okay? I'm not getting into that mess. I'm not going to be a part of that. I belong to Jesus. This one will say, I'm the Lord. Another will call on the name of Jacob. Now remember, when our passage began, God said the problem is no one would call on him. No one would pray. But he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to convict my people. I'm going to work in my people. I'm going to refresh them and renew them. And one will say, I'm the Lord's. And another one will call on the name of the Lord. Another one will start to pray and plead and cry out to God. When you are praying, that's God working in you. When you are praying and you're pleading, when God is convicting you and you're on your knees and you're asking for God's blessing and you're praying for other people or you're praying for yourself, that's God working in you. That's God's spirit working in you. God says, I'm going to do that. And one person will say, I'm the Lord's. Another will call in the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's. You know, sometimes people believe in Jesus to a degree. Well, yeah, I believe Jesus died for me. But they don't, well, they want to keep it secret. They don't want to be public about it. They don't want to be part of a congregation. Sometimes people want to sort of keep to themselves. But when God's spirit works, that's when people say, I belong to the Lord. He says, this one will say, I'm the Lord's. Another will call the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's. In other words, this is permanent. It's like a tattoo. This isn't just a fad I'm going through. I'm committing. When God's Spirit works, then God's people are not ashamed to say, I belong to the Lord, and I'm one of God's people, and that's who I am, and I'm going to make it public, and anybody can see, and I'm not turning back. That's God's Spirit at work. One will say, I'm the Lord's. Another will call the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Israel, of course, was the name of the people of God. So when God's Spirit is at work, people are not ashamed to say, you know what? I'm one of them. I'm a Christian. I'm part of this congregation. I'm not afraid to commit. I'm not afraid to be identified with this. That's the Spirit at work. Yeah, sometimes we get tired. We get tired of serving the Lord. But Jesus pours out his Spirit on us. He'll renew you. He'll revive you. The Lord will renew and refresh his people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need the work of your Spirit. We need you to renew us. And refresh us. Sometimes we do get weary, Lord. We get tired of doing the right thing. We get tired of trusting you. We get tired of obeying you. We get tired of serving you. And we confess, we need you. Lord, we need you to change us. We need you to grow us. We need you to bring us further down the road. We need you to bring us through those dry periods of life. Get us through those dry patches and bring us to that point where we are joyful and happy. We are thankful. We want to worship you and praise you and serve you. Pour out your Spirit on us, O Lord, and renew us and refresh us. We pray for the congregation here. We pray for our children. We pray for the grandchildren. We pray for our community. We pray for the next generation. We pray for the future. We pray for other churches in our community, for sister churches and other congregation, and for your people all over the world. We pray for your people in Puerto Rico who are still recovering from the hurricane. We pray for your people who are persecuted in places like North Korea. We pray for your people who are oppressed in places like China, and pray, Lord, that you would refresh them and renew them. Pour out your Spirit on us, O Lord, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.